this morning. Let's take our hymn books and join the choir, number 325. Let's stand as we sing Jesus Saves, 325. Thank you, choir. Let's take our hymn books again, please. 285. 285, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. Let's stand as the choir joins us in our seats. 285, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. They're flying everywhere today.
Ushers, come forward here. I want to welcome you again to this morning's service. We're going to have a great service for you this morning. John chapter 3, verse 30 has the most challenging verse I've ever seen in my life, and that was John the Baptist, where he said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Think about it. That is the toughest thing for a Christian to do, to get out of the way and let God work. But that's what we're going to pray God's going to do for us today. Birthdays, Helen Lloyd and Ashley Norton have birthdays today. I've got Joyce Ashby, Marianne Heath have birthdays on Monday. I've got Dustin Roberts and Justin Dearden having birthdays on Tuesday. Justin Dearden's turned 16. So let's get him on the roads and out there and moving around. Cindy Fett has got a birthday on Wednesday. It's too late for her. She's already out on the roads. Drew Nellis and Jim Wilson have birthdays. They're sharing on Thursday. And if that's not enough for you, on Friday we have an anniversary, and that is Randy and Sherry Post. So be sure to congratulate those folks for this week. Just want to make one announcement up front so I don't forget about it, and that is the 2014 donation receipts are ready. If you want to see after the morning service, you want to go out in the hallway, Donna Simmons will be there with your tax receipts. You'll definitely need those. We're going to go to prayer for our offering in just a minute, but I just want to let the workers know that we're going to dismiss the junior church children during the offering, just because we have so much to do this morning. So during the offering, if you would please take the children out to the junior church. Brother Jim, if you'd pray for this morning's service here.
Amen. Thank you. Once we get everything done, it's going to look nice. And I don't know how long it will take, but we're going to raise the money for the fans. This is good. This is a little more expensive than the paint. So God honors us if we sacrifice for Him.
Yes.
And so, and He's right. We can never outgive God.
That's right. Wow. That's right.
And so we need to believe that ourselves in our little church.
Savior are going to go into this awful place, and we read it over in Matthew, this place of fire, this place called hell. Now you know I don't want to preach on it. I really don't like preaching on hell because it's a horrible thought. I really don't know how many friends and relatives I have that are in hell right now, but it's a scary thing. I can't help them. It's too late for them, but it's not too late for us. It's not too late for the neighborhood.
Doing? Okay. I gotta get this. Okay.
This is Francis?
Yes.
And what's Francis doing?
Peeling a coconut with his bare teeth.
With his bare teeth.
Pretty soon he's gonna be visiting the dentist.
I wouldn't do that. I did when I was a kid, I wouldn't do it now.
So easy.
Ta-da!
Hey! Yay!
Yeah.
When did you start doing that?
For a very long time.
For a very long time.
Yeah.
Solar Baptist Church. The church that's been having all the construction this week.
You often think, what is the will of God for my life? Like it's a big mystical thing, the will of God. What is it? But when throughout Scripture we see the will of God is laid out for us. In Romans 12, we'll read verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Okay, at this time, why don't we have anybody was on the team who would like to give a testimony? Why don't you come up right now? I got a microphone here. That way we can see you. And not everybody all at once now. Just slowly. Here we go. One, come on. Mrs. Took's here. Come on. Come on. If you want to say something, now's the time to do it. Just ask that you just get to the point and tell us what's the Lord's laid on your heart. Mrs. Took.
Privilege to be able to have the opportunity to go to a third world country. I've been on many missions trips, but this has been the first one that didn't involve actual children's ministry and going there for the children and specifically for that. I was quite impressed. Sometimes you wonder what are the missionaries actually doing out there in the field every day, and it was really good. We talk to our missionaries that are here this week, but we don't really get into their lives, into their personal daily lives. And we got to have a glimpse and be a part of the Bartleys' lives. And they're very busy. Excuse me. Everywhere they go, everyone is, Brother Wes, Brother Wes, Brother Wes. They love them. He never does not have enough time for them people. In his van, they pull up to the grocery store, and there'll just be a man come up that he has befriended. And sometimes he will give him money. He doesn't know for sure if it's going for food. But he's very humble that way. He doesn't show his money and he doesn't just flaunt it around, but he gives to those in need. And the people in that, especially Dennery and where we were, they know him and they know Faith Ann and they really truly love them. And it's great to see, you wonder, like we're talking about the will of God's life for us, and you can really see that this is where God wants these people to be. I was expecting to go and doing lots of maintenance work or whatever needed to be done in that church. And the group that we had was such a well-rounded group the Lord brought together that we were able to minister to so many people in so many different ways, whether it was sitting and talking to the children. I'm thankful I had my iPad because I had lots of pictures of at home of all the snow. And a lot of those children had never seen snow, so my iPad was quite an exciting item for them to look at. So just talking about the snow with them, showing them the love of Christ through us, was just a blessing in itself. Caitlin and I, we went out, you don't door knock there, you just yell, you go, hello, hello, good morning. And these two little kids, cousins, they came with us, and they were eager. You know, we'd say hello, and right away they wanted to have the little bag with the John and Romans and the tracts to give out. So not realizing, we were actually teaching these little ones about sharing the gospel with people. The teenagers, really, I was just overwhelmed by the teenagers in every church we went to. I was sitting there all by myself after the one service at Pastor Charles's church on Sunday night, and all of a sudden these four teenage girls, they don't know who I am, just out of the blue came and sat with me and was asking me all kinds of questions. sitting in the van one day having a drink of coconut water to rehydrate. And again, this girl from school, she just walks right up out of the blue and starts talking to me. And it was so refreshing. There was no apprehension with any of them. They were super friendly, very respectful. One of the biggest things I learned when I was there is I was challenged every day to look to God and God alone. My eyes a few times there got off of God and got looking at man, and it really had a profound effect. And I think we all had gone through different trials during that week of being challenged, but we all turned back to God, and it was a very successful missions trip.
Well, I had a terrible start to the trip. We got there, I got sick, didn't go to church the first Sunday, and ended up in a St. Lucian hospital on Monday. It's no better than the hospital here. You wait forever. But it was a very good trip overall. It was interesting for me to learn, though, one of the big hindrances to the gospel in St. Lucia is not a lack of knowledge of God. They all knew the Bible. You talk to people, they start quoting to you. They tell you the King James Bible is the only Bible to use. But then you get talking to them, and they have a knowledge of God, but you can tell they have no relationship with them. They've never accepted him as their Savior, but they all know about him. So you have to turn around and explain to them that Jesus Christ is the only way for salvation. You can't earn your salvation. It's not Jesus and going to church. It's not Jesus and giving money, but it's just Jesus is the only way. And that was a real eye-opener just to understand a little more about their culture that way. But it was a great trip, and if you ever get a chance to go on a mission trip, I would encourage you to go. There's lots of work to do. Doesn't matter how old you are. We need people to yell to the younger people, kind of like Dennis does all week. So if you ever get a chance, I would encourage you to go. Thank you.
I'm just so thankful for all the support that this church has been able to provide for me to be able to go. I was just amazed how God provided through you to allow me to go to St. Lucia. And I really can't thank everyone separately, but I just thank you as a whole. Just many of the things that I learned there, to see the contrast between here and there. Here in Canada, people are very hard-hearted a lot of times, and there the people are very warm-hearted. They're willing to listen to the gospel, even though they may be a religious people, but it opens my eyes to see that there's still hope for people in the world, that not everyone has a hard heart, and that on this mission trip, God has just allowed me to see how missions is not a distant task, is not a difficult task, but it's attainable, and it's constant, and can start immediately. And as Pastor Thiessen was saying yesterday, how God's will is not distant, but daily. We went street preaching while we were there on Thursday. And as Pastor McDonald put in the video, there were about two ladies who professed that they said if they died that day, they wouldn't go to heaven. And so we prayed for them. And I don't know what is of them right now, if they're at church or if they decided not. But I just I know that whatever we did wasn't in vain. I'm just thankful that we got the tiling laid down. We were a little concerned the first day through. We only got through about one or two and a half rows there, and we had about 5-7 left, and so we got that down the next day, and just to see how God helped with that process, and just with all the needs. There was many difficulties while we were there. The Bartleys had, it seemed like, 100 different things going wrong, and how that God provided for each of those difficulties and how God gave the victory. And also through my passport, how it took forever, and there's so many difficulties that came through, but God provided and gave the victory.
It's kind of interesting how we got to go on a missions trip the week before our missions conference, which just it makes it more meaningful for me especially. Like Brad said, he started out kind of rough by feeling sick all week. I beat him to it. I passed out on the plane. So But praise the Lord. We thank you for all your prayers for me. We didn't know what it was, whether it was just a long day or whatever, but what a blessing it was to get down there, help with all the things that we did. Pastor Bartley, what a guy. He's got the same sense of humor as my wife. One, it was just hotter than the dickens every day, and I came out of the church to get a drink, and he was peeling what he told me was a grapefruit. No, I don't care for grapefruit, but I was so thirsty I'd take anything. So he handed me a slice and just looked at me. I stuck it in my mouth and chewed on it. It turned out to be a lemon. And after I finished pulling my chin out of the upper part of my mouth, and he laughed for the next few minutes as we went back in and continued the work. But the Lord's blessed so much down there. That's a family that's got a heart for that island. And we just thank you for the opportunity for us to go. And I just pray this will continue because, man, this is a good deal.
There you go. And I just also want to thank everyone for their prayers, too. What had happened on the plane is that he had low blood pressure. So, well, his was going lower, mine was going higher, but praise God. It all worked out well. And the pastor, Wes, is he has such a heart for the St. Lucians, and it was a blessing to see his heart at work there. And I was talking to one young lady, sharing with her, and she has a lot of head knowledge. They can quote scripture really well, and they can say they know God, but they're 18 inches from that relationship with Christ. So we just continue to pray for our missionaries there, and we thank you for our missionaries that we support. I know Pastor Teason had spoke from Philippians 4:11, and I may take this out of context as well, but when it said, in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, and I was in a state a couple of times, but the Lord was good, and it was our first mission trip, and my husband and I were very blessed by it, and we look forward to it. In a heartbeat, I would take another one, because it is such a blessing, and it really spoke to our heart through a week. We are so blessed in this country. We have no idea what it is to be without, and they are content with whatever they have, and pray that we can always just be content with what we have, and just praise God for every day and every blessing that we have. So I thank you again for that opportunity.
How do you guys do this? I'm terrified. I'll go 60 feet underwater and not be scared or jump out of an airplane, but I'm scared right now. My wife pretty much said it all. She usually does all the talking. But anyway, I just like really to thank the Lord for giving me the health and the financial ability to go on this trip. It was amazing, really. My wife and I have come to the conclusion now, prior to getting saved, I did a lot of traveling all over the world, a lot of different places. I've been to the Caribbean numerous times, never to work. It was always to play and have fun. But we've noticed since being saved the last 10 years, going on different trips, mission trips, different things, when the Lord's included, even if you go on a trip somewhere and you go to church there, I find that it's an amazing trip. And this is just another one we're going to add to the list. It's right up there with Israel and, you know, all the different Christian cruises we've been on, stuff like that. You can't get a better trip when you include the Lord in the trip. It's just, he's the king of the universe, and he keeps all the circumstances under control, like with Dennis there. That could have really gone bad if, you know, the plane had to land and that, but we prayed, and same with Brad when he got sick. All the different things, even like when we knocked that wall down, I warned the one young fellow on the ladder, get out of the way, it's coming down, and he kind of wanted to stay there, but the way the blocks fell, the ladder kind of blocked it, and nobody got hurt. And it was just an amazing trip. I'd do it any time. Great bunch of people to go with. Really well-rounded bunch. And I'd do it again. And Brother Bartley and his wife, great people. Anyway, thanks.
Okay. Gentlemen, do you have those pictures? I just wanted to just really quickly show you where how it started. You saw basically when they were knocking down the walls. And, okay, well, here's I'll go right here. We had donations of some beautiful handmade dresses, and this was just published on Facebook. I just grabbed these off Facebook from Mrs. Bartley yesterday, and that is they had their children's club again, and she was able to unpack them and to get these dresses to these little girls that they have the Saturday Bible class with. And I think there might be another one. There's with the girls, and then there's the boys with the shorts. And the shorts almost look like long pants on those boys, but they'll grow. Trust me, they'll grow. But they're very excited to have them. And I could, there were other pictures, too, on Facebook on Mrs. Bartley's. And I just want to thank everyone that donated their money, their prayers, and resources here, like these dresses. Because even this is a week after the fact, and we're still seeing more and more blessings coming from it. Nothing was wasted on this trip, let me tell you. Your effort was greatly appreciated. And then I think we've got, that's where you saw Brother Bartley leading singing. And that's that first Sunday we were there. So that's kind of, you see the arch that we brought down and stuff like that. And you see the floor. It's all yellow and dingy and it's old tile and stuff like that. And here's a picture that was posted yesterday. That's what it looks like now. And the men and the ladies too gutted out that kitchen. And of course, you saw the arch come down. The floors are shining now. And you just see they got those little flags from St. Lucia up because this is their National Independence Day is coming up this weekend. And so it was just done in time for that. So it looks beautiful. And that's just from another angle there where the pulpit is. And Brother Took was able to put up the two fans. He mentioned in the video that they were going to raise money for the fans. And they said, hey, why don't we just buy them? And he can install them right while we're there. So there's two beautiful wall-mounted fans with multi-speed and everything else. So that place is much more comfortable for the services. And again, just on behalf of them, I want to thank the team that went on the missions trip. And they paid to go on this trip. You paid to work. I don't get that myself, but they do. And you get a blessing from it more than if you paid for just Brad Took had said, just for a fancy trip. You come back and you're just as exhausted. We came back and we were like, wow. And we're still seeing the blessings. So I just want to thank Bethel Baptist Church. I want to thank Pastor. It was his idea over a year ago. He said, why don't you take some people on a missions trip, which I've never done before. This was exciting for me too. Thank you very much.
Amen.
There they come. I can hang up that mic. Oh, yeah.
It's been our joy to have Brother Thiessen with us back this week, and I know many of you know him from his time at Bethel many years ago. It was 17 years ago that he was still driving back and forth. He'd go 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning and drive his family down to the Mississauga International Baptist Church and then come back here and have Sunday evening service at Bethel. And so that's been 17 years ago. And April of that year, they moved finally into Mississauga and went full-time at the work there. And now God has built a thriving church in the greater Toronto area, and we're so thrilled and thankful for the Mississauga International Baptist Church. Before he comes to preach to us this morning, let me remind you, we do have a couple missionary needs. I have a letter here from Brother Phil Smith, and they're thanking us for praying. I read that the other night, but let me remind you, on March the 9th, he has a biopsy scheduled. Pray for him as he's battling with some, they believe it's likely a melanoma cancer of some sort, so let's pray for him. In that, and then also, if some of you ladies may have Lois Donnelly on your Facebook, her father had surgery earlier this week. He had to be taken back by emergency yesterday, and he's in an intensive care unit. Her father started a church, I believe, in Ohio, and has pastored that same church for over 50 years. So we praise the Lord for his faithfulness, but now he's struggling with some health issues. And one of the greatest messages I ever heard in missions conference was Brother Sullivan preaching on the world. Going into all the world, and he just talked about the world and what missionaries face. We think of the Bartleys. I don't ever have to worry about getting malaria when I'm out door knocking. But they face that in different parts of the world, in different diseases, yellow fever and hepatitis from, you can't eat coleslaw because it's not cooked, you know, and we don't think about those things. We take it for granted. And so we think of the Donnellys this morning, and part of mission work is being separated from your family. They're so far from their father. And so let's remember them in prayer. Remember the Smith family in prayer. I know they'd appreciate that so much. All right, Brother Thiessen, come and preach to us this morning what God's laid upon your heart.
Thanks, preacher. Thank you so much, Pastor Feary. Thank you. Bethel Baptist Church, all our friends here and acquaintances over the years. It just, as I've said before, it doesn't seem like it's been 17 years since we were on staff here and enjoyed our time here tremendously. And you can take an individual out of Bethel, I've always said, but you can't take Bethel out of them. And so we feel like we're a part of it still. I've really appreciated this week the opportunity to spend some time with your pastor. And you know how it is with preachers. We know about each other, and we'll rub shoulders at pastors' conferences and so forth, but sometimes we don't get to know each other as much as maybe we'd like to. And so I've enjoyed that, and I've learned that I have more in common with your pastor than just our hairlines. And so that's been an encouragement. We think a lot the same way about a number of things and about doing church work and ministry and missions. And I just value your pastor's friendship and his heart for missions and for this conference. Now, I had originally intended to bring a message this morning on maximizing our capacity as a church for missions. I'm going to preach that this evening. So That's kind of the teaser. You got to come back tonight. Amen? That's the message I believe really cements the theme for this conference. And a subtitle for that message is Filling the House. You know, there's something about a full house that's a blessing, that's an encouragement, whether that's here at the church or wherever that you go. And God desires a full house. Did you know that this morning? It's not his desire that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And one grand and glorious day, we're going to be gathered up in eternity in the presence of our Lord. And he desires a full house right there around his throne. He desires a full house there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you know what? Now is when we can do something about it. This is the day. Today is accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. This missions conference, 2015, taking Jesus to the world. This is our opportunity to do something about that, to give a vote of confidence, as it were, for God's program of world evangelization. You say, how are we going to do that? Well, you've probably received the Faith Promise commitment card in your bulletin. And I believe you're taking those up. Is it this evening you take those up? And you'll be able to pencil in there what the Lord has laid upon your heart to give, if it's per week or per month. And those of you, of course, that have been at Bethel for many years, you know how that works. And it could become routine about it. But let me just challenge you about that. Make sure that you do pray about it, even for this year. Even if you're a long timer here, it's good to just pray and say, God, what would you have me to do? And if we pray about that, and we seek the Lord's leadership, even in our giving, then God's going to bless, and God's going to provide for us, even as you heard Brother Ben Reimer share with us in the Sunday school hour. And so I want to take the few minutes that we have this morning and just shift gears a little bit and talk about this matter of grace giving, because that's the means that God has ordained to fund his program for world evangelization. And I want you to open your Bibles to a couple of chapters in the New Testament. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And also we'll be looking at some verses in chapter number 8. As I said, we're not going to take a lot of time with this, but I believe that it's important to just refresh and re-energize our thinking as far as the matter of giving is concerned. So if you've got your Bibles open there, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and chapter 8. And before we read our scriptures this morning, I'd invite you to unite your heart together with me in prayer, and let's just ask God to lead and direct us in these moments. All right, let's pray. Father, we are so thankful today for another opportunity that is ours. Lord, we're blessed beyond measure. So many of us are in this land of Canada, we could say we're blessed beyond our wildest dreams. Lord, everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we possess is a gift from you. Lord, help us to be good and faithful stewards of that which you've blessed us with. Help us to be the right kind of stewards of all of your blessings. And I pray that you'd encourage our hearts in these few moments, even just about this matter of giving. And Lord, we'll be sure to thank you for it. Lord, if there's anyone here today that has not yet trusted Christ as personal Savior, Lord, then it's important that we don't have overlook the necessity and the importance of those individuals. Lord, having their hearts and their lives touched with the power and the life-changing reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ even today. And so we thank you in advance for all that you'll do. And we ask it in Jesus' precious and saving name. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 9, if you would. There's no verses that I'm going to read this morning with which any of you that have been in church for any length of time are not already familiar. You've heard many messages on this. And so it's not my intention this morning to sort of beat you over the head with something you already know, shame you into giving just a little bit more. I don't believe that that's how God's program works. I believe it works in the way that we just get a hold of biblical principles, biblical truth. And God sort of weaves that truth and those principles in and throughout every fiber of our heart and our inner being to where we respond in love and in joy and in a desire to say, you know what? God has enabled me to have a part in his program too. Where do I sign up? And I trust that you'll catch that spirit this morning, even as we look at this matter of giving. So let's start off in chapter 9, verse 6. Paul writes, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." And so I want us to see from these few verses a handful of things about what has commonly been referred to. We refer to it as faith promise, missions giving. By faith, we make a promise or a commitment, if you will, that we're going to give a certain number of dollars every week, if you will, or every month to the missions program of Bethel Baptist Church throughout the next year. That term faith promise, you actually won't find it in the Bible. How about that? You won't find faith promise commitment cards in the Bible. That term faith promise was actually coined by People's Church in Toronto under the leadership of Oswald J. Smith. And they had a very successful missions program, but it wasn't a gimmick that made that work at People's Church. It was the heart of a pastor and the heart of a people that said, we need to do something about worldwide evangelization, and we need to get behind this in a bigger way. And so significant was the success of their missions giving over the year that by the early 70s, they were out, their giving to missions outstripped their general operating budget by 2 or 3 to 1. So that's where faith promise missions giving. Now, I actually prefer the term grace giving. And we're going to look at that in chapter 8 in just a moment. And I'll explain from my vantage point, my understanding of the scripture, what that means. And hopefully that'll help you some as well. But here we see some things about faith promise or grace giving, however that you want to designate that, whatever term you want to use. And we see the principle of giving really in verse number 6. And it's a principle of sowing and reaping, is it not? He that which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. This is an agricultural area. You don't have to have me explain to you about sowing and reaping. We know how that works. And, you know, you get what you sow into the ground. You get what you plant. It's a solid and real return on an investment that you make. But you also, in most cases, you're going to reap more than you sow. Praise God for that. There's that principle of multiplication within that. The fact is that you also reap later than you sow. And between the time of reaping and the time of sowing and the time of reaping, there's some time involved there. There's some patience that needs to be exercised. There's a lot of still investment that continues to go in the soil even after the seed is sown. And so this is true even when it comes to the Lord's work.
You know, if we're just reaping, or we're just sowing a fleshly seed with our lives, that's all then that we can expect to reap. But if we're sowing a spiritual investment with our lives, and specifically in the area of missions, then we can expect to reap in a spiritual sense. Okay? Now, I'd be the last person in the world to tell you, bless God, you know, give $100 to missions and God will bless you with $1,000. That's not necessarily the way it always works. We don't give in order to get. But as someone rightly said, perhaps it is we give in order to get, in order to give more. We're trusting God for our needs. And so we need to make that spiritual investment. We reap more than we sow. On Wednesday night, I talked about the parable of the sower and the seed. You know, the seed that's sown in the good soil, the good ground, the developed spiritual heart, Jesus said would bring forth some 30, some 60, and some even 100-fold. Do you know what a 100-fold investment is, return on an investment? Ladies and gentlemen, that's not 100%. That's 10,000% return. When we sow a spiritual seed in the area of worldwide evangelization, whether it is we're praying, or whether it is we're going, or whether it is, as the emphasis this morning, that we're giving, the return is out of this world. I mean, both figuratively and literally. And we're gonna reap sometimes a lot later than we have sown. Maybe it's years. 1997, as your pastor mentioned, we went to Mississauga. And there were faithful churches that supported us and helped us lay a foundation there and begin to see that church built for God's glory, not the least of which was Bethel Baptist Church. We thank God for the liberal investment you made in our ministry. But, you know, in some cases, the reaping came years later. And I could tell you stories of a Muslim young lady that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. A Hindu family that were saved and baptized in our church. And that took years of investment. Maybe some of the reaping that we'll do, we'll not realize till we're in heaven. And maybe it is then that the dollars you give, the commitment you make on that faith promise card, someone's going to come to you full of joy in heaven and say, you know what? You didn't know me down on earth, but you gave at Bethel Baptist Church so the Reimers could go to Liberia. And in Liberia, they reached me as a little girl, little boy, as a man, as a lady. They reached me with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving so I could be here. Someone will thank you and say, you know what? You didn't know me, but I was a young person up in Thompson, Manitoba. My life and my family's history was all about drugs and alcohol and just messed up and dysfunctional. But you cared enough to give so that the Laos could go to Thompson, Manitoba, and I got saved as a result. And the same thing true in Indonesia. You're going to reap later than you sow. Those are the principles of giving. And the commitment of that, we see in verse number 7 that it's as he purposeth in his heart. This business of grace giving and faith promise giving, do you understand this? This is not a commandment. Tithing is commanded. You give the 10%. That goes to the ministry of the local church. This above the tithe. So what we tithe is up to God. Do you understand that? God says 10%. We don't get to say, well, I'm going to give 5%. I think I'm doing God a favor, I give the 5%. No, God says we give that tenth. But what we do in the era of grace giving or faith promise really is up to you. It's up to me as he purposeth in his heart. That's the commitment. Now, if you've got a cold heart this morning, the truth is you're not going to give. And, God doesn't really need your giving. A lukewarm heart might give out of necessity or grudgingly. But you know what? It's the red hot, on fire heart for Jesus that have to be told to stop giving. Because there's just that love and that burden and that desire to say, I'm going to do something for God and I want to do more. And that's really brings us to the love of giving in verse number 7. You see, when we focus that way, it's the cheerful giver. The opposite of one who is complaining and grudgingly or has to be dragged along. A love for giving, a cheerful or hilarious giver. And then let's look at verse 8, because this is where we really begin to get that grace-giving definition. In verse number 8, Paul says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. May I remind you that the Macedonian believers who Paul testified of in this passage, they had really very little ability of their own to give. They gave out of their deep poverty, the Bible says. So according to this passage on grace giving, it's not about your ability or my ability. It's all about his ability. That's what grace giving is all about. It's not grace that we bestow, but grace of which we are partakers. And that's really all we need. Hallelujah. That's all we need. We don't need our ability. We need his ability. And Paul said, as a matter of fact, he's the one that's able to make all grace abound toward you. Don't you love that? Abounding. That's not just coming in and dribs and drabs. If I understand that word abounding correctly, that means pressed down, shaken together, and flowing over. That's the grace of God that can abound in your life and in mine. So this business of grace giving, yeah, it's about us stepping forward and giving, but it's about his grace abounding unto us and abounding in our heart, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. Yeah, you know what? You give $100 to the missionary, you're not necessarily going to get $1,000 back in your bank account. But you'll have the joy of the Lord. And you will have all your needs supplied. That's a promise, Philippians 4:19. And you will have a testimony to share with others. Now, we're going to move over to back to chapter 8. And in conclusion, I want to leave you with evidences or truths, whatever have you, three points here about what grace giving might look like in our lives. So if we're giving to missionaries and it's a true grace giving, and we're trusting God and not relying on our own ability, but relying on his abounding grace as we give, then this is what our giving will look like according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. First of all, it means we'll be giving in spite of our circumstances. Verse 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Fact is, grace giving is evident when we give in spite of our circumstances. Now, I was actually challenged. I was sharing with your pastor. We do the same thing that you do. We have Faith Promise Missions. We use a commitment card. I used to say something like this when we took up our faith promises. I used to say, folks, let me explain the faith promise card. You write in an amount that you're trusting God by faith to give to missions every week, every month. And then as we receive all those cards, it's important we receive all those cards because then we can kind of tally that up and we can have an idea of what the church can do for missions in the coming year. Well, I had a gentleman in the church come to me, and he said, you know, Pastor, you've been saying this, but he says, I got a question for you. Where does faith come in for the church? I said, you know what? You got a good point there. You've got a good point. It's about our faith, and it's giving in spite of circumstances. And I can tell you that over the last number of years now, there's times that we have just been so impressed by a missionary that came through, and we've just said, we don't know where the money's coming from, but we're impressed. We need to take this missionary on. And we took them on as a church by faith. And you know what? In 17 years, in our Faith Promise Missions program, do you know we have not, and I'm not saying this to lift ourselves up, this is of the Lord, but we have not missed one monthly support check to any of our missionaries in 17 years. We believe we make that commitment, God's going to provide that. And God will do that for the church, God will do that for you. Secondly, faith promise giving is evidence when we give enthusiastically. Again, we already saw 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loves a cheerful giver. Verse 3 and 4 of chapter 8 says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You know, they were so enthusiastic in their giving, where Paul even might have said, you know what, folks? This is more than you can reasonably do. You don't need to do this for me. They were so excited, they wouldn't take no for an answer. That was how their giving was. And when we engage in grace giving, it'll be done enthusiastically. And thirdly and lastly, grace giving is evident when we give as Jesus gave. Look at verses 5 through 9. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Isn't that just like what God did? Didn't Jesus give himself for us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loved the church, he gave himself for us. That's how we're to give. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, notice verse 9 especially. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. God help us. Dear beloved, God help us. When Jesus came down from glory and was robed in human flesh and left it all, and God gave his only beloved Son, and he endured poverty here on earth, and mockery and misunderstanding, and ultimately the ignominy and shame of a cross, and the cruelty and the physical, but as well the emotional and spiritual brutality of that cross, and was willing to be separated for a time from his loving Heavenly Father. And he gave all of that for us so that we might become rich in Jesus. If you got a hold of that this morning, without that, we're all on our way to hell this morning. Do you understand that? So God help us if we would say, you know what? I know Jesus did all that for me, but I'm not willing to divest myself of some of my earthly resources and goods. I'm not willing even to make any kind of a sacrifice in order that some precious little boy and girl in St. Lucia can partake of those same riches. Someone around the world who's never even heard the name of Jesus could for the first time hear that blessed name and have an opportunity to be saved. Something's wrong in our heart.
If we can't say, you know, Jesus gave it all for me, I surely have to give something for him. I've got to participate in that. Grace giving is evident when we gave as Jesus gave. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Lord, we thank you again today for this opportunity to be here. And Lord, I pray that as the service concluded now, as the pastor comes, we have the invitation that, Lord, you'd be pleased to work in every heart and life. And I don't know everyone in the congregation this morning. I don't know. Many faces are familiar, of course. Some I don't recognize. But I wonder, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there's anyone today that would say, you know what, Pastor Thiessen, I'm here today. Maybe you're a guest. Maybe you come prior. But you say, I really don't know that I myself am a partaker of those riches of his grace. I'm not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about my eternal soul this morning. Would you remember me in prayer? Is there anyone like that this morning? Not sure that you're saved. Never want to take that for granted. All right. All right. And then as Christians, as the invitation takes place, you respond as God would have you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. And we believe that you desire to bless in the conclusion of this service and bring to fruition, Lord, those decisions that are being contemplated in hearts. And we thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. As the instruments play, your pastor will come. Please respond as God would have you.
Now let's stand to our feet this morning as the instruments play. Let me encourage every member of Bethel Baptist Church to begin to pray about what God is purposing in your heart. During the introduction of Pastor Thiessen's message this morning, you should have received a faith promise card. The ushers went around and handed those out. If you already know that you're not able to be here tonight, I can't think of a reason why not. Maybe you've got a heart transplant scheduled this afternoon or something, but other than that, I don't know why. I don't want you to hand this in this morning. Even if you can't possibly be here tonight, I want you to take some time and pray about it. Take the afternoon, take some time right now, and just pray about what God would do in your heart. For the cause of Christ and the cause of world missions, I want you to know that not a dime of this stays at Bethel Baptist Church. For the last 5 years, over the average, we have given more to missions than what we bring in from this conference or from our commitments. We've always tried to do that to make sure that we are giving out every dime and even more. Sometimes special projects come up and we'll feel impressed to do something. And so we want you to know this. We have some visitors here today and say, great, my first Sunday, and they're preaching on money. I want you to know that's very rare here. This is a missions conference. You caught us on our missions conference. And I don't like preaching on money. I really don't. I don't like getting up and saying, hey, we've got these needs. We got bills. I don't like doing that. But I am not afraid to ask for money for missions, because that's not for me, that's not for the church, that goes to the cause of Christ around the world, every dime of it. So I want you to keep that in mind, that this is an investment in eternity. Some of you invest in other things for your retirement. My dad had bonds and things that he had profit sharing from the Canadian Tire Corporation. He had insurance policies and pensions, and died at 59 and never got to use any of them. This is an investment that will absolutely pay off every time. You may not know it till you get to heaven, but it'll pay off. I'm going to give you a moment of quiet, let you pray about what the Lord is doing in your heart, but let's pray, everybody, intelligently about what the Lord would have us do tonight. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for coming. I'm going to ask our missionaries to make their way to the lobby. Pastor Thiessen, if you would go out and shake hands. Many of the folks here want to see you again and shake your hand this morning. So if you'll go out and you can get your microphone off, and he'll be out in the lobby. All right. I just got handed a couple announcements, Brother McDonald, that I'll make real quick, and then you can come and do yours. Teen Gym Night is not going to be Wednesday, but instead Friday from 7 to 9. And there's churches in the area that are invited. So we're going to have upwards of 75 to 100 teens here Friday night and to hear the Word of God and to have some fun together and fellowship. Fellowship's important for our young people. And I've always said, somebody said this when I was going to Bible college. One of the kids in school said, "You're just going to get a wife." Pastor Simmermaker says it's better meeting them there than in a bar. And that's true. And so we encourage our young people to have fellowship because that's where lifelong friendships are made. And of course, sometimes they end up married. And so that's a good thing. So encourage your young people to come Wednesday night. Lois Corbett's, we've been praying for Ken G, cousins of hers, passed away. And so I guess she called the church and asked that we'd pray. She's not here this morning, but he's going to be cremated, and there won't be a memorial service until the spring. And so pray for the Lois's family. I know she'd appreciate that at this time. Could you close those doors for me, please?